Hey, Spitwads, we've got a great spit hit for you. Did you know that you have a dominant eye? I know you're thinking, how do I know which one's
a domino eye?
Dominant eye, like a stronger eye.
Ah.
Which eye is your strong eye, Mike? You don't know, but if you listen to this show, you're going to find out. We're talking about puppies chewing and pooing. And speaking of great pairings, we've also got food pairings. What goes better with puppies chewing and pooing
than food pairings?
Of course. That's our draft. Check it out.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Squeed happy broccoli fluff 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 fluff. Yeah!
That doesn't make it better at the end.
Well, I didn't need to make greatness better, Andy. I just came with greatness and stayed there.
No.
Welcome
in. Look. Welcome to Spitballers podcast. Jason, no, it started okay.
It was your best start in a while.
And then it felt like you were like strutting, you know?
I was strutting.
I could see on the sidewalk, and then your toe caught a lip of a raised sidewalk and you tripped.
But I did the roll.
And then you tried to do like the jog of, no, I didn't trip. Certainly don't pay no attention to that.
Floof. Was there a floof in there?
Yeah, that was in the Aikido roll. I mean, perfect execution. Then I pop up, landed it, stuck it on 2 feet.
I feel like
the Spitwads are going to have my back here. They're going to be like, honestly, one of the best.
One of the best that Jason has done in a long time.
No, it was great. Welcome into the Spitballers podcast. Would you rather, Jason explains, I've got issues, a draft on today's show. It's going to be jam-packed with wonder.
Jason, what's going on?
Jason's making an eye because he realizes he's...
We heard different things. Okay, you guys heard one scat. I heard a different scat, and it was awesome.
We're back to the scat again.
I never left. I might still be on the ground.
Just rolling?
Just roll.
What kind of roll did you call it?
Five somersaults. An Aikido roll.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't know that phrase. Isn't that a shoulder roll?
It's like a type of sushi?
Yeah, that would be a delicious sushi roll.
Is it a shoulder roll or is it a somersault?
No, it's a shoulder roll.
Okay. Is there a point where when you're tripping and you're trying to do the roll that you just pretend like you meant to be on the ground? Is there a point where no, I meant to be down here.
Yeah, I mean, you have to lean in wherever you are. And whatever you do, that's what you meant to do.
I would encourage everybody to go to Spitballers.
Roll.
Well, if we're going to stay on the scat, it ended with a...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The laughing was him jogging after he had tripped. Yeah. Like it was making everything better.
But I looked like a real jogger. I mean, I had my joggers on.
I had nice running shoes. 138 episodes. Do you fear the scat the same or more than when we started?
No, I mean, when we started, I feared it very, very, very much. So I would say more, definitely.
Scat or spiders?
Oh, that's not close. I will scat in front of a group, the Super Bowl crowd. I will, right after the national anthem, you know, Lady Gaga's crushing it. And mm-hmm. I got to go out and I got to scat. Bring it on. I don't want me no spiders.
Spitballerspod.com. If you want to learn how to support the show, be an official Spitwad, you can do so over there at spitballerspod.com. YouTube.com/Spitballers to watch the show at Spitballerspod on Twitter. Let's get this thing going.
Would you rather...
All right, Sam from the website, would you rather have a puppy that is already potty trained but chews everything up or have a puppy that doesn't chew on anything but constantly goes potty inside the house?
Okay, so two big puppy problems. Which one is worse? That is a simple question. I feel like this was
a
really
lot of
long,
words.
Long-winded. I mean, like... This is like a what's worse, a puppy that chews or a puppy that goes potty in the house. But, I mean, I thank you for your support and your question.
Thanks, Sam.
It's important.
You have to.
You have a new puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't been a full-time dog person.
Not recently, no. We had a dog about 10 years ago for a few years, and then
you had a pretty large gap. So oh, yeah. you're fresh. I mean, I would say a decade is that's a re-entry into the dog life. How is dog life going? Do you have a potty problem? Do you have some chewing problems? What's going on over there in the Holloway household?
Yeah, it's been very Holloway interesting household. Because he came into our house rather reserved as a puppy. Okay. And we had a couple accidents, very small, mostly potty trained right away. He's become more mischievous now. Because I think I hear the 3 day, 3 week, 3 month, those are like kind of some thresholds for puppies when they get into your house. So like, you know, after 3 days, he changed a little bit. And then after 3 weeks, he's starting to feel comfortable. Like you open the wrong door, he's going to dart in, grab. He doesn't care what he grabs. He grabs something. He just turns around and runs the other way.
Mm-hmm. You can't take the dog out of the puppy.
No.
As they say.
What? Is that what they say?
You can take the puppy out of the dog? But you can't take the dog out the puppy? What?
The thing is he is not a destructive chewer. He'll grab a sandal or a shoe or something he shouldn't have, but it's mischievous and he doesn't sit there and you don't walk in and lose something valuable for a long period of time. So I feel like I would rather have the chewing because I haven't experienced massive destructive chewing. Now, Jason, I feel like you have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the destructive chewing, thankfully, it's not anything of value. They've never chewed on shoes. They've never chewed on
our
stuff. They haven't chewed on the couch or walls. Like, I've seen dogs
what
just
are they chewing,
chewing
on
walls. On?
Their food?
They're chewing on our food and garbage. Like, this is, if you leave something on the counter, they would never in a million years, if we're in the room or downstairs, they know better. They're really smart, well-behaved dogs. But if you leave and you didn't put that, you know, loaf of bread away, you just wrapped it back up and that's on the counter, oh, that's gone. You say bye-bye. And the problem is, as they do this, and recently we had for the first time ever, they got stuff out of the pantry. This wasn't like a we left it on.
Is this Jurassic Park style? Did they open up the door?
Sugar can open the door. Sugar can absolutely.
Your dog open knows
the door.
How to open a door?
100%. We have the lever handles. You know, we need to replace them with knobs or something because she can open every single door in our house.
All his dogs walk on 2 feet too. So
we've trained them well. And like their father, they love to eat.
They love the pantry.
The pantry is their favorite room of the house. But yeah, we had, those Jack Link sausages.
Okay, so at least she's making good choices in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she knows what she's going after.
That's good protein, right?
But we put it like in this box that was down low in the pantry, and huge mistake. But here's a real problem with the chewing for us. It's not destructive from a value standpoint. But at the end of all of it, if I haven't been in my backyard in a week, and then I go out to the backyard, I'm like, what happened out here? Because over the course of time, they've just shredded up a bag of something, and there is a billion little pieces everywhere. I feel like that's worse than a piece of poop I got to pick up. And this question is specific to puppies. So I feel like...
Puppies got good poop.
Yeah, but my point is that... they're always going to get potty trained. I've never seen a dog that just never got potty trained. You know what I mean? Like, they picked up bad habits, and then they're 12 years old. Well, they're still crapping inside when they're...
There are dogs that, while they're potty trained, there are dogs that have the excitement pee. My parents have struggled with it. They have two dogs.
We all got that.
I mean, yeah, who doesn't have a little couple... You know,
couple drops
of pee come out when you're laughing and having a good time.
This is not a couple drops though. This is a line. This is a piddle. It's a piddle paddle.
Mike, well, you're not going to catch me in a carpeted house,
man. As the resident's janitor of the house, when the dog goes in the house, this is a dad issue. I will take the chewer. So I can lighten the load on me cleaning up
literally
dog feces and dog pee, which I've cleaned up plenty in my life.
Let me just, for the record, state that I will take either of these two, pooping in the house or chewing in the house, over dogs that eat poop out of each other's butts. Because that's what we had growing up. And that was a couple of beagles. That's not a breed I really want anymore.
No, I always tell my dogs, don't eat poop. You know, it's not good for you. It's not good for your teeth. Not good for any part of you. But and please eat all the paper you want. Just, you guys love paper. I'm definitely taking the poop and pee in the house because I think eventually that dog will grow out of it. It'll be fine. I don't want them to start the habit of chewing.
They're going to grow out of the chewing too.
And this is on your carpet too. This is not, you don't just get little quicker picker upper.
This is not a tile.
You're saying I can't have a hardwood floored house like I have? I mean, come on.
You don't have any carpet?
Maybe upstairs, but
there's poop on it now.
Maybe I'll put a baby gate.
All right. That has been one of our strategies too. We do have we bought three baby gates and we block off certain parts of the house and it's fabulous because then less things to eat. All right, Chase from the website. Would you rather always wear an eye patch over your dominant eye or always wear an earplug in one ear?
Okay, well, I got to ask this question.
Yeah. The dominant eye thing?
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably true, but do you guys have any idea which one is your dominant eye? I mean, I'm right-handed, so I'm right-footed. I imagine it's my right eye, but I have no idea. How do you check this?
I have to believe that
I know how you check it. Do this. Put your finger in front of your face, and then close one eye.
You can do this with us at home. Yeah, do it while you're driving.
Wait, put your finger in front of your face, okay?
Okay.
Now close one eye and close the other eye. And if whatever
I can't see anything.
No, not at the same time, Mike.
Oh, I was with Mike. I was like, okay, this
everybody
is a joke?
Everybody close your left eye.
Okay.
Open and close your left eye. Does your finger move?
No. Yeah, but it moves both times.
No.
No matter which eye.
So here's a better way to do it. Make a triangle with your hands.
What, like an Illuminati triangle?
You don't need to interrupt me, Al. I had it on lockdown.
Then pick an object in the distance. And center it, keep both eyes open, center that object in your triangle, and then alternate eyes. And if it stays centered, that's your dominant eye.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So my right eye is my dominant eye.
My right eye
stays
is
the
my
same.
Dominant eye.
Dude, we have a dominant eye?
Yeah.
The finger thing
was going to work, too.
Did you know? It didn't move at all. Both the single finger didn't change at all for either eye. But the triangle thing was magical.
I think you should try the finger thing again later when you're alone.
Is this something you knew, Andy, that we have a dominant eye?
Yes, that's why I had you do the finger thing. Yeah.
But that test sucks.
That's why you had me do a
test
that doesn't work?
Works.
Your finger test told me that both of my eyes are equally dominant. The triangle test told me that my right eye is dominant.
Yeah,
right. It was 100%. Closed.
This is not what this is about. This is, would you rather always wear an eye patch over your dominant eye? Now, I don't know why I care about which eye, because I don't think having the dominant eye, does it give you more power? Do you got better depth perception in that eye because you have a triangle that lines up?
So I have a personal problem, and this is not like common
a lot
to
more
the
than
human
one, buddy.
Race, but I have a bad eye, like a legitimately...
Is it your dominant eye?
No, thank goodness it is not. I have a dominant eye, which is my left eye. And that was before knowing that I had a dominant eye, which is also my left eye, because years ago, I had this, I don't know what happened. It was some disease that got named, but I don't remember it, where fluid leaks in front of my eye.
That's called crying, Jason.
And it starts leaking out, and it makes me feel real sad.
Like when I'm watching a sad movie?
Yeah.
Like my disease keeps popping up.
Yes.
My disease pops up every time.
I'm leaking
again. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. But
criers
are
people too.
I've cried. I've cried before a lot.
And I can't read as well through the tears. But no, there was fluid that leaks into the front of my lens.
Do I remember this? Was this back in the game design days?
Yep, this was back in the broken bulb days.
Yeah, I remember you having a problem.
They said it would go away in 6 months, and it took 2 years to go away. But ever since then, my right eye is blurry. Like when I get perfect lens correction, it
sounds
still
like it didn't
sucks.
Go away.
I feel like I believe it's like scar tissue. Well, where it's healed, but there's ramifications left over.
I got breaking news for you. What do you call one of the eye doctors? What are they called?
An ophthalmologist?
Ophthalmologist.
Yeah, they're pretend. Because their only advice, their only advice to any issue is that it'll eventually go away. Yeah, that should clear up at some point in time.
Oh man, get bodied.
Do you know how many times I've heard that? People tell me, I've never heard somebody go, yeah, I got an eye issue. I went in and then they fixed it. It's always like, yeah, it'll go away in a couple of years.
To be fair, I was growing up in high school, I took a football right to one of my eyes.
Okay.
And I had floaters where like.
Yeah. I've been there.
There's a big honking floaters in my vision.
What'd he say?
Went to the ophthalmologist and they're like, yeah, this should just. This yeah,
man. There's nothing.
You'll feel better soon.
By the way, it's a $200 copay. We'll see you on that.
And we're going to need to see you in 6 months to make sure it cleared up.
To make sure it's still going to be going away soon.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, they either get you glasses.
Yeah.
Or LASIK, or just wait. Just wait it out. We can't really do anything with eyes.
I'm sorry, ophthalmologist. I'm sure you do other stuff. I know you blow air into my eyes.
They puff air in your eye.
Man, I hated that as a kid.
Like,
more than anything.
Do you like this or do you dislike when I do this?
stare at the balloon.
No, I don't like that. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
All right.
His
eyes
don't
respond well to high-speed air. Yeah, we did those tests. They suck. I bet you skipped them because you're so afraid.
I can't do them. Like, I have to...
Oh, that's right.
I have to literally... No joke, not like, oh, I've got to sit on my hands. No, like I have to literally get up off my butt so that I can put my hand under it and sit down because I will whack the person's hand away. Like sometimes if it's the balloon thing, that one's okay. But like there's a handheld glaucoma test where they come and they get it right by your eye and it shoots air. And I'm like, no, you're not allowed. You're not allowed at my eye. This is my private space. And I literally hit them away. Like my arm hits their arm and says, no. And I have to, and then I apologize for myself. I'm like, I am so sorry. I don't know why he's doing this.
Jason can't get LASIK because he's so sensitive about his eyes.
Unfortunately, that is half true. I am very sensitive about my eyes.
To be fair, Andy has LASIK.
Yeah.
I had LASIK as well after I graduated college. I don't know what your story of your LASIK was, Andy, but the operation, they put this, they put something on your eye that like keeps it open and it suctions really, really, really hard to the point of.
It's uncomfortable.
Like, it's uncomfortable.
Painful.
And I don't know what other people experience, but I had mine. And my vision just started to cone in until it was just absolute darkness. And I'm laying there going, I've made a terrible mistake.
This is how I die.
I'm dead. I'm never seeing again. But everything turned out okay. And actually, I will give this piece of advice. If you're going to go and get LASIK, don't do it when your favorite sports team is in the playoffs. Because the Phoenix Suns had a playoff game that night against the San Antonio Spurs. So,
and you couldn't watch it.
Oh, I watched it. But it was incredibly painful. Each time I had to open up my eyes to watch.
Mike, did you say that there was something that suctioned your eyeball?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I thought you said that. And that was... That really hurts my feelings right now. I couldn't do LASIK. And they said I literally couldn't do it because the size of my cornea or something.
Your cornucopia.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're too small. I needed bigger corneas or whatever is in the front of your eye. I don't know.
Andy, did you do that? A little cornucopia here.
I'm super happy now that I can't get it because that sounds like a nightmare where I will leave arrested for fighting the doctor.
No, they give you a Xanax beforehand. You're fine. You'll be fine.
That is true.
We need a horse tranquilizer over here.
Get this guy's. Is this Gorilla Grade over there?
All right. All right. What was the question?
What was the question?
Eye patch or earplug? Earplug. I want depth perception. I want to play sports. I don't mind if I don't hear you as well.
100%. It's not just hearing. I've never had to actually like experience full eye injury where I only have one of them, but I have had many bouts of one ear just fully plugged, and it is It is horrendous. Like it's painful. You're discombobulated all the time. Jason, have you ever had a bad ear problem?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about. When one ear's plugged, it's an absolute nightmare, and everything sounds weird, and you have to like turn to hear people. But at the same time, because of my right eye problem, like I'm just blind if you cover up my other eye. So give me the terrible hearing. I choose you.
Fair enough.
Dylan from the website, would you rather wear wet socks on your feet 24/7?
No.
This next one better be bad. Or, and that's for a year. So you wear them 24/7 for a year. So okay. Gross. Or dry socks on your hands for a whole year.
Look, at dry the end socks. Of this experiment, what? At the end of this experiment, I would like to have my feet. That's
well, let's
my
presume
goal.
You don't ride away.
Yeah.
It's just it's the discomfort of the wet sock. You have wet socks 24/7, but no. At the end, you're just pruny.
Okay. No. All right. So I'm not. There's no gangrene. I'm not having things amputated. Okay, that makes this a legitimate question. Legitimate question. Because what are you going to do with socks on your hand?
Not a lot.
You're not thumb wrestling, that's for sure.
That's your biggest concern?
Well, I'm just saying it's impossible.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah. I declare I can't play this thumb war.
You can still play
You can still play flinch though. Where you
what
slap
else do you use your
hands?
Thumbs for, Jason? Other than thumb wrestling,
that's the predominant thumb usage around the morning.
It would be embarrassing. I mean, I guess it'd be embarrassing either way if you're walking in a room and it.
Oh man,
you can hide that.
I can't live with. Okay, let me phrase this as a question. You guys go in the bathroom. You're getting ready. You have showered. You're ready for the day. You go in your bathroom with socks on. You step on like just a little bit of water, enough that it makes your sock wet in that like a droplet. Do you move on and say that will dry quickly, or do you change your socks immediately?
The droplet matters here. If
it would have to be one drop,
spot,
one drop, I might let it go.
If it's one
on
spot, like a
this
little
on
circle, a little circle on the bottom, I would let it go. If I stepped
you,
onto a
what?
If I stepped onto a wet towel and the bottom of my foot got wet. That's changed socks or die. I mean,
it matter if it's in the toe region or the heel region?
No, I don't think so, because I just think it'll dry. But I don't think it'll dry if it's the whole thing.
Can we all agree that a wet towel on the ground is the grossest thing in the entire world? Can we agree on that?
It's pretty bad.
It should not be on the ground.
There's a lot grosser things.
The towel is supposed to be clean. It should be off the ground.
Well, not if you use it to, I don't know, soak up a spill.
Okay, well, that's not your bath towel.
But it's already
I'm talking
dirty.
About a bath towel on the ground.
So that, that's
wet.
A thing for you. That bothers you.
I think it's egregious.
Is there a lot of towels on the floor in your house?
Not for me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not for me.
It sounds like that's a Class C felony
really looking,
in the Holloway household.
I was looking
Holloway
for
household.
A lot more support there. Considering Mike likes to clean, he can't even step on a like a carpet in a bathroom.
Oh my goodness!
Now, when
gracious.
You're talking about a wet towel, are you talking about a towel post shower, or are you talking about a towel?
I'm talking about a towel post shower that has now been thrown onto the ground, which, in my opinion, is now absorbing whatever's on the ground into the towel because it's wet.
Not a big deal to me at all. It's damp. That's not wet. That's not a wet towel. That's a towel that's dried a little water off of the body.
But then when you go to use it next time, it's going to be damp still because you left it on the ground.
I can
tell you. If you leave it there.
Yeah, I could tell you that if I reuse.
We're not talking about temporary placement here. We're talking about its home. Its own base.
Like, you know, look, I've thrown a towel on the ground and needed to find a towel and grabbed it off the ground. I have never. It is unacceptable to use a wet towel to dry yourself. That is.
You ever been backed into it, though? You did the double shower that day, and you hung it up, and when you went to grab it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is moist.
I've been backed into it. Usually when I'm backed into it is this. It starts like this.
Help, help, help! Help, help, help!
That's our cry in our household when we forget a towel. And then my kid brings me a towel, and I say, thank you. And it's a towel they just used to shower. And so now I've got a wet towel. I'm like, this isn't help, help, help. This is shame.
They bring
help,
you
help,
their
help.
Wet towel?
Yes, that has happened.
You have some jerk kids.
Right? No, I've got wonderful kids, but they don't understand that a cry for a towel is a cry for a dry towel.
Is help always towel related, or is that just a universal?
No, toilet paper is probably the superseding issue.
Is that three or is that four helps?
No, it's always three. It's a help.
Okay. But it's always related to some bodily function.
Then how
function.
Do you know what to bring if people are just yelling, help?
Is location. The shower running?
It's where he is. Yeah.
Is the shower running, Mike?
Context clues.
What are you, bats? You have echolocation throughout your house?
Look, we don't have like this 12,000 square foot manor. But like I can hear if a shower's running.
Okay.
What was the question?
But isn't your shower always running?
Most of the time my shower is going.
Wet socks on your feet 24/7 or dry socks on your hands for a year.
I will be sock man for a year. I'm not wearing wet socks.
I hate wet clothes so much.
Wet socks or wet underpants? Which is worse?
I think wet underpants.
Yeah, I mean, when you say wet underpants, it sounds dirty. Like I've sweated. I'm saying like dirty underpants. Yeah. And that's absolutely unacceptable. But if it's just wet, like you got it out of the dryer too early and it's damp. But it's clean.
That makes a difference.
You're at a theme park. You went on a flume ride, and you got you got splashed. You were able to hide your feet up on the insides.
Right, but you're
You got a puddle that just crashed right in your crotch.
It takes so long to dry off, man. I've been there at a theme park.
Yeah, but the socks will never dry off. They're in shoes.
Yes,
they will never dry. No.
Do some science.
Here's the problem. You can take the socks off and hang them up and walk around without socks. You can't take the underpants off.
Your socks off and walk around without socks?
You can walk around in your shoes without socks if you need to.
You'll be arrested. That's disgusting.
Wait, what? You have a problem with no sockless shoes?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. That's how you make stinky feet.
Dude, I was sockless shoes, man, in the office for like 2 years.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you, Mike, but
you never knew.
Here's a little hot tip too: a wet crotch makes stinky crotch, so you know it's not going the right way either way.
But I think they dry. Your socks inside of shoes will never dry.
Neither one dries.
Does it help if you are? Would it be better to wear the small socks on your hands or the longer ones up your arm?
I feel like this has to be the longer ones because this has to be embarrassing.
Oh, you're talking about knickers
well as,
then, right? Aren't those knickers?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm picking the wet socks. And even though I hate wet clothes, here's why. We type a lot. We are on our computers and we are typing to each other on Slack. We're running a business. We're working on spreadsheets. Try typing anything with worse than webbed hands. You've got sock hands. You can't type.
That's pretty bad, actually. The typing would be a problem.
Everything. And the thumb war. Don't forget the thumb war.
Okay. All right.
But typing is close second.
Jason's going to illuminate something for us in just a moment. But first, let's take a quick break.
Jason explains in 60 seconds.
All right, Jason, you have 60 seconds to explain.
I know everything you're going to bring up, so don't worry about it.
I can't wait. What is it?
Almond milk.
Okay, so a long time ago, about 20 years only, people started to pretend that they were allergic to milk. And they're like, man, I've got lactose from the candy milk. And so people were like, well, have you tried squeezing almonds or any kind of nuts? And so what they found out is that if you take nuts, specifically almonds usually, cashews can also work for cashew milk, but normally almonds, and you mash them up together, you can drink them and you can pretend like it's milk. The problem is it tastes different. It's stupid. It's not delicious or healthy, not as much protein. And so what happens is people, they fall victim to this routine and they think, okay, almond milk is better for you. And the dairy industry is going after almonds. They're burning almond trees by the,
sense.
They go to wherever the almond trees are and they just torch them. And good for them, they should, because the truth is that milk is delicious. I believe the commercials from our youth where it said it makes a body good and it's going to help me grow strong. There's definitely no hormones in there. And so, yeah, the point is almond milk is mashed up milk that pretends to be almonds because people pretend that they can't have milk.
They pretend to be almonds.
That's good. They pretend to be milk.
Milk, okay.
And that is everything that you need to know about almond milk.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, if it's not the vanilla almond milk, it's disgusting.
Are you an almond milk fan, Mike?
I can drink it. My daughter has a lactose problem.
Get bodied, daughter!
Oh, my gosh.
So we have to get her almond milk. What's so funny to me about milk, and this was like, I'm about to be 38. I spent 30 plus years of my life. I still love milk. It's delicious. But then it was finally pointed out. It's like, you're drinking the milk
pregnancy
from another creature.
Mm-hmm.
And like the idea of drinking human breast milk as an adult,
disgusting.
It is you have a visceral reaction, like
it's unspeakable.
Give me the wet socks,
and you're like, no, that cow, give me that milk. I'm cool with that.
There were three things growing up that I was like, yeah, these are okay. But if you stop and think, they are unspeakable.
They're weird.
There are three things. One was milk because you're drinking the pregnancy juice of a creature. Two is
eggs. Yeah.
Because you're eating the pregnancy creation of another creature. Like, when did this start? And then the third is braces. So common, but it's like, would you like to put a little bit of cement and metal and bend your bones to look a certain way? Like, I had braces. I'm not talking against braces, but like, when you think about what we're doing, I love milk. I love eggs. I'm all about that life. I just need to live that life in ignorance so that I don't think and stop and go, This is probably too much for the humankind.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it is funny because, like, we have lactose issues because we're drinking the milk of another creature. And if we, you know, it wasn't made for us in that way.
I bet if it was human breast milk, allergies would go way, way down.
Well, it's funny because I've heard, this feels like it is this real life, but I've heard that they're trying to genetically engineer cows to be able to produce human breast milk. Because,
excuse me?
Yeah, because then you don't have the allergy issues because it's the right hormones.
But that would still come from a cow. Is that correct?
Yes.
We have ways to get it, but hold on. Stay with me.
What do you mean we got ways to get it? Gee, you know how much time that'll take? There's not as many udders on the human. I mean, you got production levels are not. All right.
I totally get that.
It would take a lot more people.
Yeah, it would.
Okay.
Yeah, but now the money's going back into society, more job creation.
The wet nurse industry has kind of subsided since the early 1800s.
That's true.
everything you know about wet nurses in 60 seconds. Ready?
No.
All right, let's move forward with another segment.
I've got issues.
Yes, we do. All right. Should a sandwich be cut horizontally, diagonally, or not at all? I have an easy answer for this.
Well, it better not be not at all, because that's dumb.
There is, in fact, a mathematical answer to this question.
There's a correct answer, so I assume Andy's has it as well. I know, Mike, you have it. I have it, because we're here to answer these important questions with
I'm a man
definitive,
of science.
Objective opinion. These aren't objective facts. Should
we do it on the count of three?
Sure.
Okay. One, two, three.
Diagonally.
Okay.
Four. Yeah. Okay. This is why I love you guys.
You know, it's funny. Growing up, my mom always cut them horizontally. But if my dad made me a sandwich, it was probably one out of every 300 sandwiches I ever ate, he'd cut a diagonal, and that made it that much better because it was unique. It was special.
There is always
and it fits better.
There's always an optimal bite when you cut diagonally.
Yeah. All right. And you avoid the most crust that way. Because you can get all the way to that corner with
it's the same amount of crust either way.
Jason, no. Do not eat your crust.
Well, of course not. The crust is not the delicious part, but No, I realize there's the same amount of crust, but when it is cut in a square and horizontally, you can't get to the corners as well as when it's cut in as a diagonal.
And out of curiosity, Jason, do you cut your, like a cookie, do you cut that horizontally or diagonally?
Oh, that's a no cut. That's I don't want people thinking these are pieces for sharing with others or like this is my half.
But
and
which
your
would
half.
You prefer? Hold on, Jason. Which would you rather have if you were going to cut a cookie?
That's a great question. Diagonally or horizontally? I would go diagonally because it makes a big difference.
Okay. Should showers be taken in the morning or at night?
We're not exploring cutting a circle.
Well, yeah, Jason figured it out there. Yeah, he got it.
Okay.
Showers be cut taken morning or at night? The answer is morning.
Yeah.
But only for the sake of the hair grooming.
I totally agree because if it wasn't for
the
hair,
night. Yes, I prefer the
night is great. You go to sleep clean.
Yeah.
You wake up fresh. Like if you know, if I
you wake up
my
20
head,
minutes later.
I mean, going to bed dirty, if you've had a hard day, that's rough. Sometimes that's hard to like fall asleep. I might have to do the nighttime shower, but then if you do the nighttime shower, then you have to wake up and do the thing where you like wrap yourself in a towel and put your head under the shower to get the hair wet so you can manage it.
We should fix that problem. You know how like some kitchens have pot fillers, you know, that are just sitting right by the stove. There should be like a pot filler thing like above your sink for just
a higher faucet,
just wetting your hair in the morning.
Like a half shower.
That's what I'm talking about, Mike. Straight down into the sink.
But that doesn't work because you're bent forward, and it never works. You have to. If we're going to invent that, it has to be more like the little hair wash station at a salon where you are in a chair and lean.
Why does
back.
It matter how the water hits you?
Because if you're leaning forward, then the water will inevitably get into your face, fall onto your beard, maybe your clothes. But if you're leaning backwards, you can dry it, and if some drips down your back, who cares?
Okay.
Why not take your shirt off when you're doing this?
Why not take a shower in the morning?
Right. Why not take all your clothes off and just get in the shower?
I'm a shower at night guy.
Is that your majority shower?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Should corn on the cob be eaten around in a circle or straight across the lines?
Oh, man.
Nobody
I've never
ever,
even thought of this.
Nobody ever eats it all the way in a circle. Psychopaths
would
eat
that
in
would
a
be,
circle.
I don't know, man.
No way. You don't
I
sit
haven't
there.
Had a cob forever.
Okay, so think you're holding the cob, okay? And you start on the
hand?
Left, okay? You're starting on the left. Yeah, we're best friends with the cob. You're starting on the left. You're not going to eat that thing all the way. You're gonna eat and then go across before you turn. There's no way
know.
You
my,
eat
my,
an entire
my natural
circle.
Go-to, if you look at the video, my hands are spinning. They're spinning the cob.
It's been
I
too
think
long
built
since you've
there.
Had a cob. I stand by that only psychopaths
I think I'm a spinner.
Do that. So
you think you're a spinner?
I think I'm a spinner.
Okay. I think you're a psychopath.
You're on the FBI's most wanted list.
Look, I start on the side. I don't start in the middle of the cob.
Okay, okay. You start
I'm
on the side.
I'm not a complete psychopath.
Yeah, you could technically spin and go side to side, and you end up with a spiral.
Ooh, that's fancy.
All right. Do you dry off in the shower or standing on the bath mat? Oh, I prefer shower
what?
Every single time.
People do that on the bath mat?
I mean, it's warm in the shower. I turn the water off, grab the towel, and then stand in the warm air.
Yes.
No, not me.
What?
Wait, now here's the difference. Here's the difference.
No.
See, here is the difference. I choose like our master bedroom.
He's going to tell me his bathroom has the same temperature no matter where he's standing. That's what he's going to tell me.
That is basically the truth.
That's impossible.
Not if you take 4-hour showers.
Yeah, there Andy gets it. My master bathroom I don't use because it's. It's the standing shower
it's
that doesn't
open.
Go to the ceiling, and so it's open, and so like it doesn't get steamy. I need that steam in my life. So
can you
I
see
like
the mirror after a shower. You can't see the mirror, right?
Oh no, the mirror is gone. The mirror is.
Can you see your hand
exist.
In front of your face?
Barely.
you don't use your own shower.
No. I mean, I technically, yes, I do, because all of these showers are my showers. but I don't use the master bedroom shower because
how many showers in your house?
Three.
Okay, you got three. So is it one shower and then two bathtub combos?
Yep. Yep. One shower, two bath shower combos. The master has the separate shower and bath. Right. And yeah, the kids actually use the master, and I use the upstairs one.
You desire, you need the steam so bad that you're willing to forego a real shower to go get in the tub shower.
Well, both are real showers.
He's saying a pure shower, non-bath.
Yeah.
You'd rather climb in.
Hold up. A pure shower, non-bath, is a downgrade over the bath, shower, tub. Because you know what I can't do?
What?
We're unraveling a really steamy onion. a steamy old onion here.
You guys have to get on my level on this. Because
he sits down in that tub. There's no question.
I can't sit down in the tub while the shower's running, let it hit me and just relax, have, you know, some moments of meditation. I can't do that in a true shower. Because
why not?
I'm uncomfortable on a flat floor. Why would I sit down on a flat floor when I could sit in a comfy bathtub?
Because is it the back wall? It's the 90 degree
wall.
Angle. You need a little different angle.
I'm comforted. I'm held.
You
want to
be insulated.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you ever plug up the old drain and let it pitter patter raindrops?
I would say about half of the time.
And then you drain it out.
Except,
now, do you wash completely before you sit down and relax?
Either or.
That's a great question.
So if I'm going to plug the bathtub.
Dirty water?
No,
if
I'm going to plug
filth.
If I'm going to plug the bathtub, I pre-shower. But if I you know, want to sit down, relax, wake up with the steam and the water hitting me, then I won't plug it. But here's the truth. I'm going to let you know. The plug is missing in the shower that I use. So it is my heel. That is my plug. I just put that heel right on that hole. And it works just fine.
I'm telling you, this onion, this, we don't need to unravel it any further. You also poop in the shower, right?
Well, doesn't everybody?
In a poll, Al Borland, we need to know what the people are thinking on this one. Do they prefer a standalone shower or the bathtub shower combo? I got to know.
All right. We're going to have to move on into our draft segment of the show. That's all the Jason showering I can handle. But let's take one more quick break.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, we are drafting. Well, Jason has the first pick, and we had a couple options, a couple ideas, and we went with the one that Jason wanted the most, which was the best food pairings. So we are drafting the best food pairings. There are oh so many. And you get the first pick, Jason, so there's a lot to choose from.
What is ironic is we did choose this because, you know, it was a food draft, and I wanted it. I claimed it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do not have a 101. I know what the 101 is on, like, most classic lists, but I don't know that I would draft that here. And I'm trying to think, like,
classical literature
exactly.
lists.
Classical yeah. literature lists. We know what that is, but... when I think about what I like, what goes together, where I draft, what works in the polls, you know, you got to kind of bring it all in. And just to clarify here, these are food and food combos. Is that correct?
Well, correct. They're food best food pairings.
Okay. Well, I mean, sometimes you pair with a glass of wine. I didn't know.
Wait,
that's...
we don't have. We're not talking about. There's no liquids allowed.
Yeah, that's fine. If you want to go steak and wine or something like that,
yeah.
That's fine.
It's just two things together.
Oh, man.
By the way, I can tell you, I did not look anything up. Like, this was all top of the brain. So I don't know if there's some 101 out there, something I'm forgetting, but I went with what I think.
I have my 101.
Yeah.
But I'm the third pick. We'll see if it trickles all the way down.
We'll find out. You'll get two.
All right. I'm gonna go with just the classic, not the literature, but this is probably
all of these are classic.
This is the food pairing that I'm guessing everybody listening to and the three of us eat the most often. And it's a burger and fries.
That's the 101, baby. You got it. Congratulations.
It's easy. It's everywhere. If you're eating a burger, I want some fries with it.
Yep.
So there you go.
I'm not willing to say that's the 101 for sure. That was my second pick. That's the second one on my list. Mike, don't give him too much credit. He's already got the first pick.
Well,
we need to keep
this
thing close.
So that was your second pick. You get your 101.
Well, and that's why I asked the question, because my 101 is milk and cookies. I think milk and cookies is the best possible pairing.
It's on my list.
Yeah. So
it's
I'm going
near the bottom.
Well, that's fine, Mike. You don't have to be smart. burger and fries was my two. My second
pick.
Burger
and fries is way better than milk and cookies.
Milk and cookies is also on my list at the third from last, but is delicious. I do not hear what I'm not saying. Milk and cookies are delicious. And if I'm having cookies, I want that cow pregnancy juice.
All right, Mike, you've got two picks now you've talked up Jason's pick and talked down mine and lost my respect level.
Your pick is whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, but Mike's dessert tastes terrible.
Yeah, I know. Milk and cookies, come on.
I really thought that burger fries might drop me here. So I have to go
more
to
food
classic.
Takes from Mike. I can't wait.
I have to go with To Kill a Mockingbird. I have to go with Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
I'll just get it out of the way. I will take peanut butter and jelly. I will take it off of the board.
I can't believe that you took that over what you think is the superior combo.
I play in to win. People love that PB&J.
Nice Fortnite pick there, Mike.
I would say peanut butter and jelly is definitely not pandering. People love PB&J.
Anybody that would go PB&J over milk and cookies is a lunatic. That's all
I'm
going
to say. That is the classic 101. Like, it goes together like a peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, and that's why I had to take it. Oh, man. So there are so many difficult choices here. And, oh, my goodness. Like I didn't think that this would be that hard. But this is extremely difficult to actually rank these live on the show. I'm going to go. I'll just continue being a small child and ordering off of the kids menu. I know that Brooks would really appreciate that because he loves the kids menu so much. I will take
chicken nuggets and ketchup.
Oh man, do you do ketchup with the nuggets?
No, I don't do. I do. There's way too many good sauces to just go ketchup.
I will go macaroni and cheese, please.
Okay. The pasta with the cheese. That one, I wasn't sure if it would fly around here or not.
And I wasn't sure either, because who's eating macaroni without something?
Macaroni can be with other things. But
you have a mac salad. You know,
what's crazy about macaroni is it is so ingrained that it's macaroni and cheese.
It just doesn't feel like a pairing. It feels like a
thing. But it is. It's a macaroni noodle and it's cheese.
But when I go to cook my mac and cheese, I grab the box,
and it's already assembled for you.
Yeah, but like when I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I grab the peanut butter, then I grab the jelly,
When I go to Wendy's, I get a number one, and my burger and fries.
I'm not saying that the macaroni and cheese isn't technically a pairing. I just don't think anybody would think of it as a pairing.
Well, then I'm out here with my galaxy brain taking high-level picks.
They go together.
All right, Al, you're fine with macaroni and cheese as a food pairing?
Yep. Yeah, it was high on my list.
Because it's delicious.
I'm going to take breakfast food. I'm taking bacon and eggs. I am taking bacon and eggs with my selection.
That's problem with bacon and eggs, and don't hear what I'm not saying, they are delicious, is the eggs part. Like, eggs aren't my favorite. They're okay.
How do you take your eggs?
I can go over medium. I can go scrambled, but usually I order them over medium.
Scramble.
You know, scramble with some cheese, some meat, some veggies, flip it over, call it an omelet. That's how I take my eggs.
So like eggs with bacon and then something else.
But like, I wish bacon and sausage was a good pairing. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want at breakfast. Can I get my breakfast meat with a side of breakfast meat, please?
I think you're up, Jason.
I am up. And I'm going to take what is my true 101. When we talked about this, it was the first thing that came to mind. Because this isn't on, I did look up some lists just to jog memories. I didn't see this anywhere. Because it's not like mac and cheese, you know, peanut butter and jelly. These things that just are clearly always together. But for me, Jason, personally.
Sounds like you like my team.
If I have one, I must have the other. And I like my steak with mashed potatoes. I have to have the steak with mashed potatoes. That is a food pairing
really?
To me. Oh, 100%. You dip that
steak.
No,
Owl. Mashed potatoes, yeah, please.
Let's be clear.
He did not draft meat and potatoes. He took steak and mashed potatoes.
100%. I don't want scalloped potatoes. I love a baked potato. But if you're telling me I have to order steak with mashed potatoes or steak with a baked potato, I'm ordering mashed potatoes because I like to dip the steak in the mashed potatoes.
You can't dip the steak?
Oh, dude. Oh, man. If you're not used to that, I see why you put burgers over steak.
I'm with it because meat and potatoes in any kind of pairing is delightful. I'm just more confused at the dipping. So do you you cut the piece of steak, scoop up some of the mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone potatoes onto the steak, then cut?
No.
And eat?
No, it's not too easy. He's not a barbarian.
That's uncivilized.
Mike.
It's uncivilized.
He's not a barbarian.
I mean, this steak's not falling off my fork. I'm gonna succeed in getting the scoop. All right, okay. So now I've got two dinners here. A burger and fries, steak and mashed potatoes.
Burger
so I'm
fries.
Trying to look at maybe a lunch, maybe something that isn't my dinner but is more lunch, and I'm taking something that, again, if I have one, I have to have the other. And this is actually even more so than, because I can have mashed potatoes without steak, but when I have steak, I really want mashed potatoes. But in this one, I don't want either one of these without the other. They have to come as a pair. It is a grilled cheese and tomato soup.
No, it's on my list.
I mean,
it's on my list. That's
who
a fast
wants
list.
Who just wants a tomato soup? You ever just like, oh, I want a tomato soup by itself. And a grilled cheese, I'll eat it by myself. I mean, by itself and myself, I will eat it. I'll eat 20 of them. But I will, every time, I will want, you know, you got to like end up dipping it in ketchup or something if you don't have the tomato
ketchup?
Soup.
Wait, you don't eat it? You wouldn't eat a grilled
ketchup?
Cheese just by itself without a dip?
No, I would. I would. I'm just saying you can.
You
yeah,
would rather
of,
dip it in ketchup?
You've never heard of dipping a grilled cheese into ketchup?
No.
But yet tomato soup is so normal.
Correct.
They're very similar products here, sadly.
Yeah, I mean,
similar and yet very different.
Well,
all right.
Delicious.
So did you make both your picks? Yeah,
are you
did.
A ketchup and eggs person, Jason?
I am not. When I was a young boy, I went to my best friend's house, actually stayed the night. It was one of the first times that happened. Woke up in the morning. Mother makes eggs. He puts ketchup on it. And I did everything I could to not vomit at my friend's breakfast table because that appalled me to put ketchup on your eggs.
That's probably fine. But
my kids do it now, and I don't care.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm disappointed in them. Don't hear.
How
I mean,
do
like,
they hear about it if you don't do it?
My wife puts ketchup on eggs. I didn't want to say it because, like, you don't choose your kids. You choose your wife. And, you know, that's one of probably the three biggest issues I have. But it is disgusting, and it happens
all
in the
right.
Moore household.
All right, so you went with steak and mashed potatoes and then grilled cheese and tomato soup. I will come back here. I have milk and cookies, bacon and eggs, and I'm going to go with chips and salsa. I'm going to go chips and salsa. It's finally something that Mike is upset that I drafted. What a privilege.
Chips and salsa is fabulous.
Eating tortilla chips by themselves feels
oh
wrong.
Never.
It feels
I would
like
never do that.
I'm not supposed to do this, or I'm trying one before the salsa comes out.
Right.
Because
no,
if you
right.
eat tortilla chips plain is like just it just dehydrates your mouth. So salty. I mean, it's so good, but you need a balance. You need the salsa. You need a nacho cheese. You need something.
Now would you rather dip. Okay, so rank these three. Salsa, queso, guac.
Oh man.
I would say that is one of those things where I think I would take guac 100% of the time, but the chips and salsa are a classic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they're so frequently available that if
yes.
I had like I think I would if it was reversed and how often they were served, I would probably like love to the time I finally get some salsa.
I would go
queso, analysis.
Queso, guac, salsa.
Guac, queso, salsa for me.
All right, am
Mike.
I up?
Okay. Yep, you have your last two picks here, Mike.
All right, I know one of them for sure My list has actually dwindled.
Let me guess. Spaghetti and tomato sauce.
No, but but I do have some honorable mentions on on my list that will not be drafted.
Oh, no. I know. It's just freaking SpaghettiOs and cottage cheese, isn't it?
You're darn right.
You're disgusting,
man.
You have infected my wife again. She only wants, if she's having SpaghettiOs, she wants cottage cheese with it.
Yes,
and
it's, are you serious?
That's two-thirds now of the three biggest issues I have.
Oh, man, that's so great.
Oh, man, it's disgusting.
And was she a doubter? Or did she?
Oh,
did
she doubted it because it sounds and is terrible. But she
it
liked
is not. It is great. All right. One of them I know is easy because I'm like, this is, you can't even. Is this breakfast? Is it lunch? Is it dinner? Is it all three? Absolutely. I will take chicken and waffles.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I just wrote chicken and waffles down just now.
Yeah.
That was one I thought man. It might come back to me. I thought I was going to go chips and salsa and chicken and waffles to finish off the draft, but I got one of them.
There was a point in time where I didn't, like, as a younger man, I didn't know chicken and waffles was a thing. And someone told me that it was a thing. And you get it with syrup, and it's like a meal. And I was like, that sounds so weird. And then you try it one time, and you realize it might be the single greatest lunch slash breakfast slash whatever it is. It fits all three. It could be a dinner.
That's what I was saying.
I don't think it's because of the pairing. I think it's because of the permission. I think it's because, like, you're allowed to just eat these two awesome, delicious foods that, you know, it's like, yeah, no, we're saying chicken and waffles is allowed. You can have sweets and salties.
It is so funny how we do that. It's like we make rules about what's a breakfast food and what's not a breakfast food.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
And then if you were to have, like, some tuna fish in the morning, you are a monster. Oh. All right, Mike.
A funny pairing here before I jump into my last pick. I heard Dave Grohl was on, he did the Conan podcast, and he was talking about a pairing of food that was very bizarre, but somehow he just fell into it after a show. Very funny story, but it was KFC and champagne. And they all discovered that, like, Dave Grohl was eating it, and then he, like, called everybody over, you got to try this. And
they compliment each other?
And this became a big thing that they just kept doing. And
is it, like, just because the champagne ends up masking the KFC? Like, oh. You know what makes this taste better? Not knowing what I'm doing.
Maybe, but I was just throwing it out there. Man, so I've got to narrow down to two picks. One is just, it's similar to the chicken and the waffles, but it's so good. Well, whatever. I've got two breakfast types. I'm gonna take pancakes and syrup because it's great, and I have a strong feeling that Andy would have drafted it had I let it slip past me. And
would
taken
you have
something
Andy?
Else?
100%. I had chicken and waffles and pancakes and syrup as my last two, and all I said to myself was, Mike just needs to leave me one of these two, and I don't have to panic.
How
pick
funny.
Anything else.
See, I feel like pancakes and syrup is like his macaroni and cheese. Like, it's okay, it's a pairing, but, like,
well, he could
have
gone pancakes and butter. You could. People have no syrup. People have
no. Exactly. People don't
sure,
have no syrup.
They have
syrup.
Fruit. They have pancakes with butter and fruit.
I mean,
that was a home run. And I'm coming around on the macaroni and cheese, actually. all right.
It's good.
Well, I when I look at it, it's macaroni and cheese. So yes. I'm going to just take it. So now I have to go to backup plan.
It's not macaroni cheese.
And I'm going to go to the backup plan, the only one I got left here. and it's a pairing that belong together, separated at birth. And then when they reunite, it's magical in your mouth. And that is cinnamon and sugar.
That was my other one. That was,
was it
I was,
really?
I was debating between cinnamon and sugar and pancake waffles.
So I'm going to go cinnamon and sugar with my final pick. Yes. And so I'm happy. I'm content. I didn't, you know.
Good. Get those churros away from Jason.
Oh, that's important.
Please.
All right. You've got one final pick, Jason. Then we can talk about any we left
off. I have
off.
So many I want here. But when I look at the list, there's one that I feel would be disrespectful to leave off. Even though there are others that are maybe more classic that you only eat together, but pizza and wings, my man. I mean,
that's a great pick.
Pizza and wings is just a good time. You're watching football. You're having a party.
You see, you've got a pizza over here, and then you got some wings right next to it.
Yeah, so good.
That is a tremendous last pick.
But
it's not even on my list, and that's an oversight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, pizza and wings. That's Sardella's pizza and wings. It's got songs about it. Man, my undrafted free agency list is probably the best in this draft of any recent draft.
Let's hear your favorite couple that you didn't draft.
All right, we got spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
Okay, that's classic. You got hot apple pie and ice cream. They're gonna get so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And then the final one I'll throw out is, I mean, it's as classic as it gets. It's your go-to. It's your bread and butter.
Mm. Yep. I got your bread.
Cheese
butter.
And crackers.
Yeah, the cheese is a theme that just goes through everything. Yeah,
ham and cheese.
Ham and cheese. I love a ham and cheese sandwich. And I already took peanut butter and jelly, so I didn't want to take this, but peanut butter and chocolate.
I had that written down as well. And chocolate and strawberries. I was that'd be good too.
Yeah.
But now, Mike, if you're making one, wouldn't you make a peanut butter and honey? Isn't that your go-to?
You're darn right.
But drafting two other things ahead of it. You're putting two other things ahead of your...
Yeah.
Mike is on a bit of a hot streak lately, and I think he wants to win
the game. Shout out, though, SpaghettiOs and cottage cheese and mac and cheese with tuna fish. Shout out.
No, there ain't no shouting. Hey, it ain't listening to nobody because he doesn't get shouted out.
Oh, so good.
Wow. Yeah, those are... you know what I like to do is I like to put... chips on my sandwich. You guys ever do chips on the sandwich?
Doritos.
Or Ruffles.
Lays, Ruffles. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just give it some crunch and some salt.
Hey, Al Borland, you got anything we omitted? Anything that makes you sad that we didn't include?
I like anything like salt and sugar, so like sweet and salty. Also, cake and ice cream is a good pairing.
Cake and ice cream. Yeah, you could go ice cream, chocolate syrup.
What's your favorite salt and sugar combo?
Not salt and vinegar, salt and sugar.
Any kind of trail mix or like a salted chocolate.
Salted caramel.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. You lost me a trail mix, though.
What's the popcorn that I'm forgetting the name of?
Kettle corn?
Kettle corn, yeah. Yeah, that's a good example. I like to bounce back and forth in definitive salt and sugar categories when I'm desserting or snacking.
You don't go hybrid.
Well, sometimes, but I mean, I go bunch of salt, then, I need a bunch of sugar. Oh, wow, I need a bunch of salt. Until you die. And I think that'll do it for the draft today. Jason went with burger and fries, steak and mashed potatoes, grilled cheese and tomato soup, and pizza and wings. Bringing it home.
Pizza and wings. That's so good.
I've got milk and cookies, bacon and eggs, chips and salsa, cinnamon and sugar. Mike has peanut butter and jelly, macaroni and cheese, chicken and waffles, pancakes and syrup. He's going to town with the pancakes and waffles with the last two picks. And only one thing left.
What did we learn today?
I learned that ophthalmologists are frauds. they don't do jack squat.
I learned that Jason has a very small cornucopia.
I learned that Mike would rather not be able to type for an entire year than have wet socks.
You're darned right.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode of the Spitballers Podcast.
I feel like I can get my index finger pointed out. And
you'll figure
some,
it out. The hunt and peck method, yeah. Do us a favor. Leave us a review. Support the show by subscribing, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.